It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello, Dolphin fans. Yes, that's right. We're back with yet another season of previews and reviews of your Miami Dolphins. Each week, we will discuss the upcoming game, analyzing the opponent, and then follow every game with a review show with all the highs and lows of the game. This season looks to be one of the most exciting seasons we have had in a good while, and we are really, truly excited to be there every step of the way. So please look for us and follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Please feel free to leave comments after each show, as we truly appreciate any feedback. Now let's kick off this week's show.
And it's another Fin Fans podcast. Today I'm here with the Ragonis. How are you guys?
What's going on, Fin Fans?
Hello, 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 Dolphins. Woo! December
win. Fun times,
win.
Guys. Fun times.
Fun times. A December win ahead of the game already from last year, right?
A lot to look forward to, too, you know?
Yes. Santa, you know, get to watch Rudolph and Frosty over the next couple of weeks.
Do you leave milk and cookies out?
I do not. Chris did when he was younger. Chris did when he was younger. I don't know if he still does it, but no, we don't. Not without Chris in the house anymore, you know.
Well, if you were the Miami Dolphins, what would you be hoping for Christmas?
Go ahead, Chris.
A win against Dallas on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, could you? I mean, you know how much fun that's going to be? Are you going to try? You're not going to go to that game, Chris, are you?
I am going to do everything in my power to go to that game.
Really?
So I'm 95%. I know a couple people that have season tickets that are talking about not going. So I have a Yeah, but I mean, I get it.
I get it too. But I would think that, you know, it's a special reason to go to the game, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if you go, Chris, it'll be great. You know, as far as your question, Mike, you know, a guaranteed playoff spot with a guaranteed home game prior to that Christmas Eve would be ideal.
Yeah, have it locked up.
So have it locked up, you know, the division and at least one playoff game. That is something that we have not had since when, guys? The playoff game against Baltimore, which I believe we were at, right?
Yeah.
That was not a fun game.
Pennington at quarterback. What year was that?
2008.
Yes, 2008.
Okay.
Did we have another one after that?
No.
I don't think we did.
Nope.
My goodness.
And then the one before that was against the Colts that we snuck into when I was a kid. I was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. But you didn't have to say that. Jesus.
Well, we snuck in near the end. But anyway.
No, I paid for my ticket.
I don't think you were there for that game, were you?
I was definitely there.
Against the Colts. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was sitting on the home side.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, you know, is that going into Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve that, you know, we're at least locked in. And then, you know, if we get some wins, you know, against Buffalo and against Baltimore and against Dallas, you know, we get that number one seed and don't even play the first week. But one step at a time, you know, the first thing is to win and get, you know, guarantee that division win and at least a home playoff game.
Well, you know, it's fun for us to look ahead, Lewis, but yeah. You don't want the team looking ahead. You want the team looking at Tennessee.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now, are we going to the championship game, guys?
I think we can.
No, I'm saying physically. Are we going?
Oh, yeah.
If they get there? Know.
We're putting it on your what is it? The black card?
We're the all American going, Express.
We're all going on Lose American Express.
That'll be out the there. Day.
Well, we'll see, Mike. We'll see if you're a good moderator for a good host here for the next month. And then Santa may grant you something very special. So anyway, so we got the Titans, right? Well, first, we got any news, guys? You know, Baker, injury-wise? Well,
there is news, but, you know, McDaniel talks in maybes. He doesn't talk indefinite. So,
right.
You know, he's saying that Armstead is day-to-day.
Uh-huh.
But we're okay with our backups there. You know, he made sure to say that.
Yeah,
Hunt, I guess, is week-to-week.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this may be another week where, you know, you just sit those guys and you try and get by. You know, without them injuring themselves, because then obviously, you know, as the season progresses and as the tougher games come about, you want these guys somewhat healthy. Armstead, Mike, Chris, you know, I don't know if regardless of what happens with him, it doesn't make any difference. This guy hurts every friggin' muscle and bone in his body, it seems, from week to week. It's always something completely different. So, you know, I mean, we need him down the stretch, you know, and, you know, I don't know if it really makes a difference if we rest him or not, because every time he comes back.
Because he rested all offseason and nothing changed.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
It's crazy.
His offseason, Mike, his whole career, basically.
Yeah.
With Hunt, this is a whole new thing. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, it's crazy that last week he was on the injury report for a couple things, and then Sunday he gets hurt. He hurts his ankle, which wasn't even on the injury report. So it's like with him, he's constantly battling 3-4 different injuries.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What we really lucked out on is that Baker didn't tear anything in his knee. They're saying that he's week to week and that he should be back for the playoffs. So, I mean, that's huge for us because he finally is starting to come into his own in this defense. And Duke Riley did a pretty good job coming in last week.
Duke Riley did a fantastic job
when he got hurt. But long term, I mean, we're definitely going to need Baker back for the playoffs.
Yeah, the Baker situation, I mean, that's ideal. Because you know what? You don't miss a guy. I know people complain about him. But you don't miss somebody until they're gone. And then you realize, you know what? This guy really isn't a bad football player. I love Duke Riley. I think he's a really good, like, hustler type of player. But, you know, Baker, man, he's a veteran. You know, you don't want to lose veterans like that at this time of the season. And for us to have lost him for the rest of the year would not have been a good thing. So let's just hope, you know, he misses maybe a couple weeks. And then, you know, he gets back in, you know, near the end of the season, going into the playoffs. So he gets, you know, football ready again, so to speak, you know, with live action rather than just practicing week in and week out. You know, we should be in good shape. But if you guys listen to the telecast, you know, the guys that were announcing the game last week, and I cannot remember who it was. All they talked about, I think it was Schlereth, wasn't it? All they talked about was the depth that we have. Yep. And he said it on a few different occasions in regard to, you know, Phillips being out and look who you have. You got Van Ginkle here. That's just playing a lights out game. And then the same thing when Baker went down. Riley came in, and as you mentioned, Mike, he had a fantastic game. And across the offensive line, you know, it's the same situation. We've had guys in and out. Yep. And at the end of the games, the last couple of weeks, it's been the offensive line and the running game that has just killed time off the clock and has allowed us to just, you know, keep Tua on the bench and not bring any starters out. They just hold on to the football. And I mean, the starters back in or anything like that. They hold on to the football. They drive it down the field. They take minutes off the clock. And that was with a couple backups again last week. So they're doing a really, really good job depth-wise. Everybody that's stepping in is doing great. I mean, this is not something that normally happens with our team. You know, usually when we have guys get hurt, there's a major drop-off and you see a big difference. This year, guys, that's not the case.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, behind Kahoo, you got Needham, and you can go all the way across the board. You know,
yeah.
You've got players who can come in and play.
Safeties, Brandon Jones came in and did a decent job last week and replaced a Holland. And the amazing thing about all this, guys, is the fact that our draft picks, guys, are just not part of the equation. Smith, I you know, you barely see him play. Tyndale, again. You know, even when we have injuries to some of the linebackers,
I think he played
and stuff.
Three snaps last week.
How many?
Three.
Yeah.
They brought Smith and Tyndale in for that last series last week.
Yep.
We're not getting contributions from a lot of our draft picks, but the good thing is that, you know, some of these other guys that we've kind of got off of scrap heaps and whatnot are coming in and doing a pretty good job. You know, for the most part, they're keeping the team together. And, you know, as long as we keep the, you know, pedal to the metal, especially early in games, I think we're going to be fine going forward. You know, they just have to be aggressive on both sides of the football, which I thought was fantastic to see this past week. And hopefully they do the same thing this week against Tennessee.
Yeah. You guys want to talk real quick about Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I'll let you want to go first?
No, go ahead. I just talked for a good 10 minutes.
It was a pretty good episode. I thought that they were doing, like, you know, one week they do offense, next week they do defense. But last night's episode was mainly around Van Ginkle. They were talking to him and his wife about his journey to the NFL, how he started off in a JUCO and then kind of worked his way up to get to that D1 school. And then just a really good story. I mean, I love seeing guys who, you know, they weren't top guys coming out of high school and, you know, they went to Alabama and those type of schools. This guy really grinded it out to get to where he's at. And it's just awesome to see how he's playing right now. I mean, to think that we almost let him walk too. I mean, big kudos to Fangio for that, because when he came in, I guess he personally called Van Ginkle.
Let me tell you real quick how I see this guy.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I see him a lot like we saw Zach Thomas.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. He came in and he overachieved, and that's what this guy is doing.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, Chris. So what were you saying in regard to Fangio?
He's pretty much the reason why Van Ginkle's back on this team. I mean, he called him personally and told him, you know, we see a big role for you on this defense. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it this year, whether he's playing on the edge or whether he's playing in the middle. I mean, he's just the guy who makes plays. And honestly, I mean, I said it a couple weeks back when Phillips came back and I was like, man, it's like, I know we got Chubb and Phillips, but I love seeing Van Ginkle on the edge because I feel like that's where he plays the best. And we saw it last week.
He's a six-rated edge rusher by PFF.
I mean, when you see a guy make a pick six like he did last week, I mean, when you watch the play, it may look easy, but I mean, he's playing at such a high level. It's great to see. And I think he's definitely a guy that we have to keep. I mean, I know we have a lot of guys we have to sign this offseason, but I mean, him right now, I mean, he's playing at a very high level.
90.7.
What did that play remind you of, Mike? Just think about it.
AJ Dewey.
That's correct. AJ Dewey in the championship game against the Jets. Similar play.
Very similar.
Let me throw something else at you, you know, from Hard Knocks, Mike. I'm gonna give you a little question here. What do you think Van Ginkle named his son? His first name.
I don't know.
His first name. What do you think he named him?
Oh, boy. I don't know. What do you name him?
Ripken.
Love it.
So what's short Rip, for Ripken?
Yeah. Rip Van Winkle.
Did you pick up on that, Chris?
Yeah.
Rip Van Winkle. This kid's going to have to go through school dealing with that.
That's hysterical.
I think it's hysterical, you know? And me and Vicky were just cracking up laughing about it. As we were watching it, we thought it was just, she said, no, they did not do that.
That's what I'm thinking. No, they did not.
Van Ginkle. That's awesome. Yeah. So, but you know, Mike, he's a very humble guy. And, I mean, it was great to see him and to see the type of person he is, because he's just a fighter. He just goes out there and, you know, they do need to re-sign him without a doubt, because this guy literally could be a star in the league.
He's a football player.
His instincts are just, he just knows how to play the game, period. Exactly. He's been in the right place at the right time for the 4 years that he's been here, basically. Yep. Yep. I mean,
when he's in the game, good things happen.
Absolutely. He's gotten better each year, too.
And he's got three career touchdowns for a guy that, you know, it's not even an everyday starter, right? An every week starter. He's got three career touchdowns now. Now, how many defensive players do you know have that many, you know, in the role that he plays, sort of like a backup pretty much his whole career?
Especially as an edge rusher, too. You know, it's not like he's a middle linebacker, you know.
He reminds me more of a linebacker than anything else, you know. He reminds you of the typical linebacker way back, you know. That's what he reminds you of. And I know they line him up as pretty much a D-end, so to speak, and they now call it an edge player. But, you know, I look at him as a linebacker, much like Dewey, Mike, you know. Yep. And yep, Brzezinski and those type of guys.
Very similar.
Yep. Yep, they do. I love it. I love it. Love the guy. Can't say enough about him. I mean, he's going to be in a very important part of our defense going forward. If Derrick Henry plays this week, that's going to be very interesting, because he is a little undersized.
That's exactly it. Yep.
And, you know, when you play against that type of line and that type of running back, you know, then you start seeing, you know, maybe a little bit of weakness in him. But going forward, you know, with the rest of the schedule, you don't really see it. This is the big week, because you got a big bruising running back that you may have to go up against.
Yeah, another thing that was really great about Hard Knocks last night was on that second Tyreek touchdown, he came back to the sideline and told Tua, "Don't ever throw that ball like that, man." Or like, he was like kind of making fun of him or whatever, because he had to readjust to it.
Yep.
But then when the offensive coordinator, I think it was, brought the iPad over to Tyreek and he rewatched the play, right, he was like, "Damn, I messed up on that, actually," because he was kind of tailing inside and the safety was not right there. But if Tua throws that ball to the inside, it gives the safety a chance to make a play at it. So he actually threw a really good ball on that. And then it was funny to see Tyreek say, "You know what? I'll admit when I'm wrong. That actually was a perfect pass." So, and then you see Tua and Tyreek just, you know, messing with each other. It's just, it's awesome to see how much fun these guys are having, because I think it has an effect on how they play and how, you know, they come to practice every day and they just love what they do. You know, we're seeing it, you know, the production on the field.
We've seen some teams here that hated what they do. And you can see the difference, you know, you can smell the difference.
Absolutely.
These guys they're having so much fun. I mean, how do you not have fun when
that roller coaster thing they did in the end zone? I mean, you could just see it on all their faces. You know, they were just having a great time.
Yeah. And they practiced that. You know, they showed them practicing it, you know, before the game, you know, as the show was progressing, you know, earlier they would say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then lo and behold, you know, they did it on, well, I think it was the very first touchdown, right?
Three plays in.
I mean, just beautiful stuff.
Fun stuff. So how will our offense attack their defense, Chris?
It's all going to start off with us running the ball. I mean, we ran the ball really good last week. I think we see a lot more of that this week. That's going to open up the play action. One of their, probably their best defensive player, Jeffrey Simmons, has already been ruled out. So that's going to hurt them a lot. I mean, between him and a couple of the other D linemen, I think they have like 12 to 15 sacks between all of them. So, I mean, that's definitely the strength of their defense is that line. So having him out is definitely going to hurt. And I think that's going to allow us to run the ball to that side specifically. I mean, looking at their defense other than their line, I mean, their linebackers, I'm not sure how they're grading out, but they're not really great. I mean, their defensive backs aren't really anything crazy either. So, I mean, I think we start off with a run-heavy approach, but honestly, I think we're going to be able to run and pass the ball against these guys.
Yeah.
Gibson has a good grade at left inside linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, you know, the way I look at this game is this, is that, you know, they've got a middle-of-the-road defense. You know, they're ranked 17th overall.
Yep.
But their secondary, their pass defense is ranked 23rd. When you've got a team in the bottom third of the league, you know, I think that we can pass the ball on them. We can pass the ball on just about anybody in the league. But when you've got a team that's, you know, that's ranked in the bottom third, as I said, you attack them. And, you know, I tend to think, Chris, that they should try and just, you know, put them down early and have them trying to play catch up with the rookie quarterback. You know, you don't want to get into a situation to where you've got a nip and tuck game and Derrick Henry's, you know, able to get the ball a lot and to just pound it out. You know, you want them to have to play catch up and to try and score points because they're not a dynamic offense either.
No.
So, you know, I think if we go pedal to the metal early, much like we did against Washington and try to bury them quickly, and then grind it out, you know, I think that'd be, you know, a little bit better scenario. But who knows? I mean, they may come out and play a very vanilla game this week, you know, much like they have in the past.
Hopkins and Ramsey is a big matchup on that side of the
ball. Yeah, that's definitely going to be a fun matchup to watch.
Absolutely. But, you know, as far as, you know, our offense, I mean, you know, we've got the number one offense in the league, and you know, I don't want to see us handcuff ourselves. You know, I want to see some of these other guys get incorporated on a given week, you know, like Berrios and Craig
and Kraft. don't get cute
exactly. Just get them the football every now and again, you know, get people thinking that, man, you know what, we'll take Tyreek out, but you know, they've got these other guys that are more than capable, and, you know, start getting them involved. And I don't care who it is. I mean, it could be Cedric Wilson. Yeah. It doesn't make a difference to me. You know, just get another guy incorporated into this offense and get them familiar with, you know, with their role, you know, down the stretch. You know, Buffalo did it years ago. Who was the slot guy there, Chris, that came over from Dallas? I can't remember his name.
Cole Beasley.
Yeah. I mean, he became a major factor for them as their season progressed. And, you know, that was outside of Diggs and Gabriel Davis and those guys. And, you know, he moved the chains over and over again. You know, I want us developing that type of guy in our offense to where, you know, there's not only just the one option or the two option. You know, you want option number three from that receiver position. And I hope they establish somebody in that role going forward. I think it's going to be vital, and, you know, especially playoff time when you start playing these better football teams. And, you know, over the next month, you know, we've got some of those playoff type teams. So
I think McDaniel's thinking is, you know, we can beat anybody's pass defense with Waddle and Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it's not as urgent for him to get that third person, you know, acclimated to the offense as much, you know.
Do you agree with that philosophy, though, Mike?
No, you know I don't.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I think when you spread the ball around, you're harder to defend. And yeah, that's absolutely just how I think. But,
right,
you know, I mean, I can't fault him because these guys are good.
Not when you got the number one offense, you can't really fault them, you know. Yeah. But and you know, there hasn't been any snags up to this point. But you know, my concern again is, you know, the type of football teams we're going to be playing over the next month.
Exactly. And then you're going to be playing some of the top defenses in the league in the next month.
You're going to, right, Dallas, Baltimore, absolutely. So, you know, at that point, you know, you have to have more guys contributing because you know they're going to do, you know, they're going to do everything possible.
They're more talented. It's easier for them to lock down a guy like Hill, you know.
Absolutely. And the running backs have to get more involved catching the football. I mean, you saw that one time A-Chan caught the ball in the flat.
Loved it.
Oh, my God. I mean, he stopped on a dime. And got at least another 10, 15 yards when it looked like he was going to go out of bounds. His momentum, the whole 9 yards.
He's got a lot of talent. Oh, we've yet to see him reach his peak.
Absolutely. He does it so effortlessly, too. It's like when you see him run, it's like it doesn't – it's almost crazy the way that he – like how Le'Veon Bell used to do it in a sense where he'd kind of like stop for a second. And then get going again, and he's awesome to watch, man. And he's running in full speed.
He can jump cut. I mean, he's got quick feet
for sure.
He is a player. Absolutely, he's a player going forward that you got to be excited about. You know, and we've got him for at least a couple more years here. And you know, I think he's going to be as long as he can stay healthy, because he's not a very big guy. And he does, Chris. You mentioned it from early on. You know, when you were watching film on him, you know, when they drafted him out of college, that for a guy that's not very big, he runs hard.
He does. I mean,
he will run through tackles. He breaks.
He's tough.
Yep, he's a very, very tough. He's got all that great speed, but on top of that, he's not shy.
He's about agile getting and he's hit. Tough.
Yeah. So, you know, the only concern with him is, you know, the fact that he's not overly big.
Can't overuse him.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Him and Mostert complement each other very well.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. And the fact you got Wilson, you know, and, you know, him as a third leg. I mean, listen, this team is in pretty damn good shape up to this point in the season. So let's just hope we stay healthy through this game and, you know, and into the playoffs, because there's a lot of depth here and it's a lot of good depth. So we got to take a break, Mike.
Yes, we do. We'll be right back.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, Lewis, we are back. How do you see it this week?
Well, we're talking about our defense against their offense now. Yeah. So, you know, our defense against their offense. Their offense is 27th in the league, okay? So they are at the very, very bottom offensively. And our defense now, guys, has now snuck up to number 6 in the league. And
quietly moving up.
We keep moving up. I mean, God, we were 22nd at one. And I say this every week, and I know people are probably getting tired of listening to it, but
well, there's a lot of things you say every week.
We keep moving up, and now we're 6th overall, 8th against the rush, 11th against the pass. So, I mean, we're going up big time here. And going into the playoffs, top 5 defense with the number 1 offense, I mean, guys, that's a great combination. So, back to their offense.
Let me interrupt you a minute.
Sure.
This defense totally changed when Ramsey came in.
Yeah.
And that tells you how important a quality cornerback is.
Agreed. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's extremely important. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, overall, Mike, you know, even with, you know, the addition to Ramsey, there's guys just playing at very high levels. I mean,
no doubt. No doubt. But my point is that when the corners are making that quarterback hold the ball a half beat longer, it allows Van Ginkle to get there, you know, and allows
really took to us to another level.
Well, they're not even challenging our corners. And when they do, you know, X-Man made a phenomenal play in the end zone last week. I mean, my goodness. I mean, how many guys make that play? I mean, that's a touchdown.
Without committing pass interference, too, because at first I was like, did he get there early? And then when they showed the replay, it's like, man, perfect play, and he does that.
It was perfect.
Most times when people try to go deep on him, I mean, it's the same result. He doesn't really allow – I mean, last year when he was banged up with that groin, he gave up a couple deep plays to Jamar Chase and guys like that, but – you know, that's going to happen from time to time, and especially if the guy's playing with with pulled groins on both sides. So,
yeah, I mean, so, you know, with their offense, you know, with the rookie quarterback Levis, I mean, I think that you have to come out aggressive like they did last week against Howell. Howell is an exceptional guy in the pocket. I mean, he did a great job avoiding sacks and then turning it in the running. He's very good, you know, for a rookie. This kid Levis has got a good arm and everything, but he's not nearly the runner that Howell is, or the guy, you know, the escape artist that Howell was last week. So, you know, you got to get to a point where you're pressuring him and putting pressure on him to make mistakes. And they just got to come out aggressive. I mean, aggressive against a guy like this.
I expect a lot of play action.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, without a doubt. I mean, again, you know, the key to this game is Derrick Henry and just stopping him at the line of scrimmage. You know, let them try to grind it out, which is what they're going to do. I mean, that would be a smart game philosophy.
Sure.
You know, I think they're going to attempt to try and run the football, you know, hold the football, keep it away from our offense, and try to control the clock to keep it tight. The Dolphins have to put like 8 guys in the box and just let our corners do what they do. Yeah. Let them line up. I know they have some decent players, you know, in regard to receivers and whatnot. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is outstanding. They've got a young kid that hasn't really done much up to this point in Burks. He's had a really, really piss poor season. I know he's been banged up a little bit, but you know, Hopkins against Ramsey or X-Man, I think they can do a decent job on him. You know, there are other receivers and their tight end I'm not overly concerned with. It's Derrick Henry. You know, put 8 guys in the box and say, okay, guys, you know, pass the ball. Try to pass the ball against us. We've got 8 guys in the box. I'd love to see gap blitzes from the linebackers to plug up holes so Henry has nowhere to go. You know, put them in 2nd and 12, 2nd and 13 situations, and just be aggressive against this offense, because I just don't see enough firepower in regard to them moving the football up and down the field on our defense. I just can't see it. They do have a guy in Tajay Spears who I like an awful lot. He's kind of a scat back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's an interesting guy, because when Henry is not on the field, and if Henry isn't doing well, they like to bring Spears in. Spears has 33 receptions this year. So he catches the ball quite a bit out of the backfield. So, you know, and the other thing that's interesting about the Titans is that Derrick Henry has 22 receptions out of the backfield. So they have 55 between the two of them. Those are their number one and number two running backs. So they do like to throw screens and throw the balls in the flat to their receivers and try and get them going that way. So that's something that we have to be conscious of as well, you know, when we're going against them defensively. But they go out there and they just play the aggressive football that they've been playing. And I think we're going to be in really, really good shape in this football game. I mean, this is a team that, you know, we should beat pretty handedly.
Yeah, and I think a key guy on our defense, he's playing against his former team too, is going to be David Long. With Baker being out, I think we see a lot of blitzes from him, and I think we see a lot of collisions between him and Henry, given how good he is against the run. And, you know, when guys are playing their former teams, I don't care what they say in the press conferences, you know, it gives them a little bit extra, you know, to go out there and prove why they should have kept them, you know, sure. or whatever mm-hmm. the case may
Human
be.
Nature.
I think I think David Long has a big week this week.
Yeah, that'd be great to see. I mean, he is going to have to step up as well as everybody else. You know, I mean, anytime, you know, you lose a guy like Baker, who's pretty much the senior guy on defense now, right? Him and
Howard, yeah.
Yeah, Howard would be, yeah.
Those are the guys. And believe me when I tell you, you know, you don't miss a guy until he's gone. I mean, there's importance there. You know, these younger guys look up to these guys that have been on the team for a while. And when you look over and they're not there, it does make a difference. And, you know, the good news is again, you know, we've got a capable guy, as far as I'm concerned, in Duke Riley. You know, Pierre Paul, you know, maybe you see a little bit more of him, you know, pass rushing this week. That'll be interesting, right? Because now you've got, you know, him possibly in the rotation along with Ogbah coming in for Van Ginkle and some of these other guys. And you know what? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if on early downs you don't see an Ogbah or a bigger guy, you know, in and rotating in and out, you know, when Henry's on the field on first down. If they come in with double tight end sets and that type of thing, you know, you may very well see some of the bigger defensive ends over Van Ginkle or on early downs.
Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, this is going to be an interesting way to approach on the defensive side. You know, you don't want to be undersized because I think Duke Riley's a little bit smaller guy than Baker is as well on the inside. So, you know, you don't want to see them getting manhandled and Tennessee controlling the line of scrimmage.
Maybe we get some Tyndale appearances in this game. That'd be nice to see, right?
Long and Riley are the exact same weight.
Are they really?
Yep.
All right.
227.
Unbelievable, because he doesn't – Baker just looks like – maybe it's just the pads that these guys wear.
Yeah,
Baker,
he wears that neck roll.
Baker's
now,
225, so they're all right in the same ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Or so they say, Mike. You know they do lie.
Yeah, sure. And you know, it changes.
What
it
is changes. Two? What do they say? Two is 220?
27 pounds.
I'm not going to lie, though. And watching the Hard Knocks last night, when they were showing the practice, I mean, Tua definitely looks like he bulked up.
He looks
not even just his legs, but like his torso. I mean, his arms, like he definitely gained weight. And they were talking about that on why.
He's 217, according to this.
Yep.
You know who's a beast is Tyreek. I mean, my God, that guy has not have – he doesn't have a minuscule of body fat on him. I mean, his arms are humongous. And when he stands next to Waddle looks like his son. I mean, I swear to God, it's like Waddle's this little skinny, you know, he doesn't look like he works out all that much.
They're 9 pounds difference. So.
And Tyreek's legs are so thick. Strong. Thick.
Yeah.
And his biceps. And I mean, the guy is just, he's just a physical specimen with a ton of speed. I mean, it's just, he's incredible. He's incredible. And he is at, we were going back and forth with those numbers, Mike, and they were included in last week, you know, when they updated it pretty quick. So he's at almost 1500 yards for the season with 93 catches and 12 touchdowns. So he's having an MVP season. There's no doubt about that.
It's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. Got to have it. You give up five draft picks for a guy. This is what you expect. This is what you expect. Absolutely. And the same thing with, you know, Chubb. I mean, you know, I think all of us were a little down and out on him with the trade. But, you know, as the season's progressing.
He's picked it up.
He's picked it up quite a bit. You know, number one draft pick. Maybe we paid a little bit too much for him. But, you know, he's a vital part of our defense right now. And who would have thought in those terms, you know, at the end of last season, you know, we were thinking, God, did we make a big mistake?
Yeah, we were thinking, what a stiff. The guy, he's slow, but exactly, he looks much better this year.
Yeah,
I think he's playing some of the best football he's ever played.
Yeah,
even his best years in Denver. I mean, I know he was dealing with some injuries, but he really is just playing at another level. Not only his play on the field, but the way he conducts himself, the way he handles business. I mean, he's just another one of those guys like we were talking about last week, the Ramseys, the Hills, who come in and they're the highest paid guys on the team, but they also lead by example. They're not hot dogs. They're not coming in half-assed and shit in practice. They come out every day and handle business, and it's really cool to see.
If you believe in the PFF grades, he has improved. His rookie season, he was 67-4. Then he was 59-4 in 2019. 2020, 70.7. 21, 45. I don't know what happened there. 22, 65-5. And this year, 84.
84. That's outstanding. Now, you know, we're going to see, you know, our schedule going against some of the offenses that we've been going up against, you know, of late aren't the greatest offenses. But, you know, Dallas and Baltimore and Buffalo, obviously, again, some of these teams that we're going to be seeing down the stretch are really good offensive football teams. And that's when you really need a lot of these guys to step up and make plays. You know, the Lamar Jackson challenge for guys like him, it's vital. I mean, those guys that play on the edge across the line are going to have to contain. The same thing with Josh Allen, same exact thing. So, you know, going forward, you know, it's going to be interesting. He's going to be a very important part of the defense. But for this week, you know, go after the rookie quarterback, knock him on his ass a few times, and we'll be happy, and we'll worry about the rest of the season thereafter.
Yep. All right. Let's get another quick break in, and then we'll do some predictions.
All righty.
All right. Chris, who's going to win?
The Titans. Nah, I'm just kidding. I was going to say that I think this game's going to go a lot like it did last week, but I think it's actually going to be a little bit worse. I mean, Washington's offense, in my opinion, is a lot better than Tennessee. And my prediction, I'm going to say we win 38-7, maybe 38-10, something in that realm.
38-10.
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool.
What do you say, Mike?
Well, I was going to tell you that, actually.
Same score?
No, I don't think so. I think they'll score more than 10 points.
Okay.
So I'm going to say 35-17, Miami.
Okay.
35-17. All right, guys. So, you know, I'm looking at Vrabel, right? You know, he's a really, really good head coach. And he's a good defensive coach. So he's gonna take something out of the Belichick playbook and try to take Tyreek out of this offense, right? Which they may very well do to some extent. I mean, you're never gonna stop them. You just need to slow them down. So I don't expect us to put up the amount of points we did last week, unless of course the defense comes up with some big turnovers and create some points on their own. I see us winning this game 28-10. I think that their defense is going to do a much better job than Washington did last week. I mean, there's no way you're going to see Tyreek, you know, being defended man-to-man. I think that he's going to play an umbrella-type defense, try to get pressure on Tua any way, shape, or form with blitzes. And I think, you know, offensively, we'll do enough because that's what we do. But I don't think we're getting into the 30s this week, guys. I see a 28-10 football game here.
All right. Oh, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we should make a bet on that because I definitely think we're going to. I mean, you say it all the time. You got to have the horses for the race. And without Simmons, I mean, their defense wasn't great to begin with. And without him, I think their defense drastically is worse.
Yeah.
He is a great coach. I'm definitely not going to disagree with you on that, especially a defensive mind, but I don't know.
I just don't have the horses to run the race. Yeah. I mean, I just see them, you know, again, you know, just playing an umbrella type defense and trying to blitz to it and get him off his mark a little bit. And just playing everything in front of them. And you know, it's kind of Tua's just got to be patient in those situations to where he dinks and dunks a lot. You know, let's just hope. Listen, I hope you guys are right. I hope we do get in the 30s. But, you know, I just see them trying to keep the game somewhat close. And the fact that they do have a Derrick Henry who can probably get a few first downs here and there and slow the game down a little bit, you know, I just don't know how many more possessions we're going to have unless we go out and just totally dominate like we did last week, which is
exactly
a possibility
that's
as well.
That's the plan.
That yep, is the plan. That is the plan. And let's hope that is the case. So, all right.
All right,
I
guys.
Like it.
Yes.
I like it. How many does Tyreek go for this week, guys? One more prediction, Mike, and then we'll go. Does he get to 100?
I think he gets 100. I'm not going to.
I'm going to think so also, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think he's going to have an 80-yard and then a 60-yard touchdown like he did last week. But I think that, I mean, even if we are dinking and dunking, you know, Tua throws to Tyreek a lot in those you know, middle immediate routes. So, I mean, I think he gets to 100. It might be more so something like a 10 catch, 100 yards or something like that.
I agree. Yep, I agree with that.
I think maybe Waddle, too. Waddle gets 100.
Oh, because they're nice. What about Berrios?
Berrios, you know who I want to see? I mean, Craycraft, before he got hurt, was really coming into his own as that third leg that you guys always talk about. So I think now that he's been back for a couple weeks, he should be back up to football speed, and I think we start to see him get incorporated more.
I hope so.
We shall see.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
And we will be back after the game. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive my voice. I've got a little problem, but anyway.
You got a lot of problems, Mike.
Well, everybody has problems.
All right.
So, anyway. Thanks for joining me again, and thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back after the game, as I said. Until then, fins up.
Fins up. Let's get to 10-3, Dolphins.
Fins up, Dolphins.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right. Until next week, be well and take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.